If you've lived in eastern North Carolina for any length of time, saying the word hurricane evokes memories of past storms like Floyd, Isabel, Fran, or Bertha. The powerful winds and torrential downpours during a hurricane can be stressful for native North Carolinians and downright terrifying for newcomers. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Climate Prediction Center have released predictions for the 2013 Atlantic hurricane season, forecasting an active or extremely active season. Meteorologist John Cole is with the National Weather Service office in Newport.
Some of the numbers that they put out were 13 to 20 named storms, 7 to 11 hurricanes, and 3 to 6 major hurricanes, and that would be hurricanes with sustained winds over 110 miles an hour.
Hurricanes are low-pressure systems in the atmosphere that rotate counterclockwise. Most hurricanes originate off the coast of Africa, generally out of an easterly wave. Approximately 100 waves come off the coast each season, and about 10% develop into tropical storms or hurricanes. Warmer than average water temperatures in the tropical Atlantic Ocean and Caribbean Sea, as well as the absence of hurricane-suppressing El Niño conditions, are some of the reasons why this year's season is likely to be more active.
We're expecting a more wetter and active West African monsoon. The upper-level easterly winds are expected to expand westward. We're expecting weaker trade winds. Those weaker trade winds don't allow for any shear in the lower levels. Also, there's something called an African easterly jet. That is expected to be in a favorable position for generating low-pressure areas off the coast of Africa.
Hurricanes are categorized to show the intensity of wind speed, central barometric pressure, and storm surge. The Saffir-Simpson scale is a 1 to 5 rating used to measure the hurricane's strength. It's used to give an estimate of the potential property damage and flooding expected along the coast from a hurricane landfall. A Category 1 or 2 hurricane is generally thought of as a weak hurricane, but in 1999, Hurricane Floyd produced heavy torrential rain in eastern North Carolina, dumping more rain on an area already saturated by Hurricane Dennis just weeks before. The rain caused widespread flooding over several weeks, resulting in 35 fatalities and about $4 billion in damages in North Carolina alone.
It was a Category 2 hurricane. It weakened when it made landfall, but then the rainfall effects inland along the river basins and in the river basins caused disastrous flooding, which could be compared to anywhere from a 100-year flood to a 500-year flood. It's that rare of occurrence.
Being prepared before a flood takes place makes all the difference. You can minimize flood damage by storing valuables in the attic or in a second story if possible. Keep household chemicals above flood level. Make sure that underground storage tanks are fully sealed and secure. Also, move vehicles, RVs, trailers, and lawnmowers to higher ground. During a flood, do not walk or wade through flooded areas. Be prepared to evacuate. And if you do evacuate by vehicle, don't drive where water is over the road. If your car stalls in a flooded area, leave it as soon as possible. Because homeowners insurance doesn't cover flood damage, consider buying flood insurance for your property.
The freshwater flooding effects can be very significant from even tropical storms. It doesn't take a major hurricane or a hurricane.
Just as dangerous as flooding, hurricane-force winds can blow over trees, knock down power lines, and destroy poorly constructed homes. North Carolina suffered significant wind damage when Hurricane Hugo struck the Outer Banks as a Category 3 storm in 1989. By the time it reached Charlotte and other inland areas, the storm had sustained winds of 69 miles per hour and gusts of 87 miles per hour, still strong enough to topple trees across roads and houses.
The wind effects to trees falling on homes can be extremely dangerous. Many people have lost their lives from trees falling on homes. And when you start seeing winds of 70, 80, 90, 100 mile an hour, trees can come down and you'll start to see significant structural damage.
After the back-to-back hurricanes Fran and Bertha in 1996, people began being proactive about taking trees out of their yard. Prepare your yard for hurricane season by examining trees for any signs of decay and weakness and have them trimmed or removed. To protect windows, homeowners can use plywood to cover exposed glass. A more permanent option includes installing impact-resistant windows or storm shutters. In high winds, anything left outside can become a flying object that can cause injury or damage. put away any outdoor toys, furniture, trash cans, planters, or grills. Since eastern North Carolina is surrounded by large bodies of water, our geography makes us vulnerable to storm surge.
Surge, I think, is probably the number one threat to taking lives.
Storm surge occurs when water is pushed toward the shore by the force of wind swirling around the storm. In inland areas, storm surge could mean life or death. During Hurricane Isabel, storm surge caused extensive damage to homes and buildings in the Adams Creek area, where over 10 feet of storm surge from the Neuse River rose quickly, leaving residents barely enough time to evacuate their homes. Fortunately, during that storm, there were no fatalities.
It doesn't take a major hurricane to cause really disastrous storm surge. We saw that with Hurricane Isabel in 2003. We saw it with Hurricane Irene in 2011. So my advice would be to listen to the local elected officials. And if they advise evacuations or if they issue evacuations, then do so without hesitation.
The National Weather Service and National Hurricane Center use computer models to gauge the impact of storm surge on a particular area during a hurricane. A team of researchers at the North Carolina Institute of Marine Sciences in Morehead City have spent 20 years developing a computer model for measuring how the ocean moves. And since 2008, they've been using the technology to determine the impact from storm surge on an area as a hurricane makes landfall.
Our models then predict how the ocean's going to respond to these events, and not only how the ocean in its normal banks are going to respond to it, but once it overflows the banks and inundates the coastal areas, and as well as the estuaries and up into the, you know, some of the lower riverine systems.
Rick Lutick is the director of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill's Center for the Study of Natural Hazards and Disasters. He's also the director of the North Carolina Institute of Marine Sciences. Lutick says being able to measure the movements of the ocean allows them to warn people if they live in a vulnerable area and help them determine safe evacuation routes.
And then during an actual event or leading up to an actual event, we can give our best prediction as to how we think the response is going to occur, where the ocean's going to move to, and what areas are going to get flooded in the coastal zone.
The storm surge model, also known as ADSERC, was used by the Army Corps of Engineers to design and implement a hurricane protection system around New Orleans. It was also used by the National Flood Insurance Program to reevaluate risk maps. Lutick says the National Hurricane Center uses the ADSERC model, along with other computer models, to develop forecasts and issue warnings and alerts. The model results are updated twice a day and can be viewed online at coastalemergency.org.
They'll give you information on water level. If there was a storm out there that was going to cause some localized coastal flooding, you can see that. It also gives you information on wave conditions. And then when a major tropical cyclone is coming, then we shift over and run four times a day every time an advisory is released from the National Hurricane Center on the actual specifics of the tropical cyclone itself.
Whether it's storm surge models or hurricane warnings and watches, distributing information to the public is top priority during hurricanes or tropical storms. Local elected officials, weather service offices, the media, and county emergency management offices all play an important role in keeping the public safe. This week, Lee Jenkins examines how county emergency management helped keep the public informed before, during, and after a storm.